bus workers, drivers, Sunday school teachers meeting tonight in the junior church, soon as service is over. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and then I'm going to give a few things here tonight I believe might help us, be a blessing to us this evening. Matthew chapter 28, please turn with me there in your Bible. Give me your undivided attention just a few minutes this evening, and I want to try my best to give you something that the Lord has been dealing my heart about. I told you I was going to be preaching some special messages on Sunday night, and I'm going to be doing that next Sunday night, Lord willing. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, we're going to have a youth service. I'll be preaching to all the young people and parents too. Very special message to young people and for parents. Next Sunday night, everybody needs to be. And then I'm going to be talking about some other special things here in the next few weeks, here at the beginning of the year. Man come one time and she said, "What do I preach on, preacher?" I said, "You preach on anything. We need it all. I don't care what you preach on, we need it." Ain't that right? Somebody here needs it. And so tonight we'll look at the book of Matthew. I'll go ahead and get right into the message, and we'll be done early for our meeting tonight. Every bus worker, every Sunday school teacher, every junior church worker, every bus driver, everybody in the junior church immediately following the service. Matthew chapter 28, and look at verse 18. This is what we call the Great Commission. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." I want to preach tonight on the three words that God has for Shining Light Baptist Church. These three words all rhyme. I've used them before in a different sense. Tonight, I'm going to use them a little bit different. And these three words, scripturally, it's easy for you to write down and remember. They are go, they are grow, and they are it is glow. Them three words. God wants this church. No doubt in my mind. I know. There's two things that I know. There's a lot I don't know, but there's two things I know. I know I'm saved, and I know God called me to preach. We went over that Wednesday night. Paul said in Galatians, he said, "I wasn't given it by man, neither received it from man, but from God." And that's the same way I claim. Man didn't call me to preach. I'd have never made it this far if they had. I gave up a long time ago, but God placed that calling in my heart. You say, "How do you know?" I don't know how you know. You just know. I know I'm saved, and I know God called me to preach. And I know the Lord wants us to do three things in this church. He wants us to go, He wants us to grow, and He wants us to glow. Go, grow, and glow. Now, we're not doing right if we're failing in either one of those three words. I know churches that they're running 50, 10 years ago, and still running 50. It's not God's will for a church to stay. One man told me, he said, "Y'all's church is too big. I want to go to a little church." And I said, "You want it to stay little?" He said, "Well, if he says, yeah," I'm going to say, "Well, you're backslid." If he says no, I'm going to say, "Well, you want to go to a big church then?" I mean, that's ridiculous. Anybody ought to want their church to grow. If you don't want your church to grow, you're backslid. Not right with God. There's something wrong with you. There's people out there in sin, dying without God. If you don't want our church to go, you're a disobedient Christian. And if you don't want it to glow, you're a backslid child of God. Now tonight, I want to say, this is God's plan for the church. The title would be, God's Threefold Plan for Our Church. God's Threefold Plan for Our Church. I learned a long time ago that if you'll get interested in what God's interested in, God will help you where you need help. I told somebody the other day, two people. As a matter of fact, in the past 2 weeks, I go places and they'll say, "Brother Danny, You sure did a good job with them girls. Girls go to church, they're not, and you know what I tell them? I tell them, I say this, I say, I don't take the credit for my girl turning out halfway decent. You know why? I tried all their life to do God's will, and God took care of my girl. You know what I believe the best way to raise your children is? You get them in the best Holy Ghost services you can possibly get them in, and get them in youth camp. Get them in youth camp, and youth camp, and youth camp, and youth rally. The best way, they get saved when they're young, and then get hit good when they're about 12 or 13, get them get hit good when they're about 18, and then get hit good when they're 21, 22, they'll stay pretty straight. But if you don't get them in good preaching services, where the Lord moves in, where there's good singing and strong preaching, then you stand a good chance they're going to go bad somewhere. I don't take credit for my kids turning out good. I don't. You know what I give the credit to? Long time ago, I said, I'm going to go do God's will if it kills me. And if I get killed going driving up and down the road, I'm going to do it trying to do what God wants me to do. I drove literally thousands of nights when I was so sleepy, I didn't know if I was going to make it home or not. And I mean back when they didn't have cell phones. I'd have to stop the store and put a dime in the phone, call Carrie, and see if everything was all right. And we'd talk for a minute, and then I'd come on home. And I'd come out rubbing my head, just dropping like that, and the devil would say, I'm going to get you and kill you and get your kids. I'd say, you might do it, but I'm going to die doing my dead level best to do what God wants me to do. And I still believe that tonight, and that's my heart still desire this evening. You can't improve on doing God's will for your life. The best thing you can do for your family is God's will. Best thing you can do for your marriage is God's will. Best thing you can do for your kids, do something for God. I'm going to talk about going. The first thing is go. The first two letters in gospel are go. The first two letters in God are go. Matthew chapter 28, the Lord said go. Matthew chapter 20 and verses 4, the Lord said go into the vineyard and do what I told you to do. Matthew 21, 28, the Lord said, son, go, work. Mark 5 and verse 19, he said, go home and tell your friends what the great things the Lord done for you. Luke 14, 21, the Lord said, go out quickly into the lanes and streets of the city. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, he told Philip, he said, go. Every time you read that Bible, it's go, 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 go. Go to your neighbor. Go to your friend. Go to the people you work with. Go to the kids you go to school with. Go to them. I believe it's God's plan for us to go. He don't want us to keep our religion inside these four walls. The Lord wants us to take it out of here and go with it. Amen? God wants us to go with it. You know, we was out going yesterday, and I talked to you a minute ago about raising your kid right, and I'm going to tell you a little story about Squishy. Is Squishy here tonight? She's over yonder somewhere. Where's she at? Raise your hands, Squish. Back there she is. They went on the bus route with me yesterday, and you know what? We was out visiting, and she'd tell me this, and we was following them, and she'd tell me this family lives here, and this family lives there, and this family is a problem, this family's poor, and this family, and she got talking about a car. And she said, we had a car, but we lost it. She said, we couldn't pay the payments, and we lost it. Now, I don't want to embarrass them. They've had a hard time. They know it, and we know it. And they said, we had a car, but we lost it. And you know what Squishy said? I mean, she's only 10 or 11 years old. She said, but God's always took care of us. And I said, you know what? That kid's learning at an early age to know to depend on God. That's priceless, Jim. That's priceless. Listen, they'll never forget. They will never forget growing up and God taking care of them when they were little. By the way, I wasn't planning on doing this, but if a bunch of y'all want to get together and get Kim a car or Kim work a bus route every Saturday, we'll all pitch in and get her a little cheap car somewhere. Say amen right there. Say amen right there. Amen. All you people that don't feel led to go, you work every day. Let's give her a few $100 and get her a car and work the bus route. Say hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. If it's for you, you'd say hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to go. He 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 wants us to go to every house, every nook and cranny. Listen, there may be a lot of people in Burke County go to hell, but they ought not to go to hell without at least one witness from Shining Light Baptist Church. Our name never be in lights. They're never going to call me to pray. preach the inaugural address of the president, don't look for it. It ain't going to happen. I'd feel backslid if they did. Leave me down just a little bit, brother. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. We ought to make up our mind by God's grace. We're going to go, and we're going to go, and we're going to take one of these little things right here, and we're going to write, "Hey, Johnny, was here today. Get on the bus tomorrow morning and stick it in that door like we did yesterday. I don't care if it's cold. I don't care if it's hot. I don't care if the snows are blowing, if the rains are falling. God wants us to go. God wants us to go." Listen, I'm calling on you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I am calling on our church tonight to help me with our bus ministry. We need help. We need bus workers. It's a crying shame that some of you are so smart and so talented and have such good personalities and a nice car and everything and won't hit one lick for God on Saturday. It hurts my feelings. It bothers me. I mean, if God's blessed you with a personality, why can't you give Him some time? I'm calling on somebody tonight to say, "Yes, sir, preacher, I believe that. Jesus said go. I'll go." My heart's been heavy burden over our bus ministry. We've been attacked like crazy. We have been attacked. I believe tonight God gave us our buses. I believe God gave us our bus ministry. I believe God put us in the bus ministry. I have personally been in the bus ministry since 1980. That's when I started. And I've been in every year since then. And I'm telling you, I still got a burden for it. I know gas is high. There's a lot of churches quit running their buses. I know a lot of them right now just parked them and said it's too much trouble. It's too big of a liability. You risk being sued. You risk being put out of business. We take a risk every time we drive one of them things down the road. But I still believe. I believe God put in my heart because them little boys and girls, somebody got to care about them. Somebody got to reach out to them. Somebody go to that house and knock on that trailer door or that apartment door and say, "God loves you and wants you to come to the house of God." Man, it thrills my heart to see them pull up out there on Sunday morning and them little kids just bouncing off of that coming in. It thrilled me this morning back there in the teenage class when a bunch of them brought their Bibles. Brother Jason's been preaching to them about bringing their Bibles. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants our church to go. Maybe if you would go, He might work on that other problem that you're so worried about. God wants His church to go. God wants us to go. He wants us to meet together and have a time together. You say, "Well, I do visiting in other ways." That's wonderful. You ought to do it with the church, too. You ought to do it with the church. That's like saying we all pay our tithes. And you say, "Well, I give my tithes to people at work." You're wrong. Listen, God wants everything done through the local church. There's not a place in that Bible where you find God authorizing anything that don't go through a local church. God ordained the church. God never ordained a lodge. God never ordained a worship center. There ain't no such thing in the Bible. Jesus died for the church. He's coming back for the church. The Bible teaches go to church. The Bible teaches support the church. The Bible teaches become a good part of a Bible-believing church and get in it and be a part of it. And God will bless your work, give your money, your time, your talent, and your energy to a church. And God will bless you for it. I wouldn't even want to go to a church that didn't outreach. I wouldn't want to go to a church that said, "We ain't fooling the little kids. Just a certain class of people can come to this church." No, no. Brother, we're here to tell you tonight, God wants the church to go. God wants the church to go. You don't have to have an education. You don't have to be a genius. All you got to do is be willing. We came out here yesterday. We went out 64 out there. I followed them. And boy, I'm telling you what. Lord have mercy. I mean, we went to this one house, and they opened the door, and the screen door, wasn't no glass in it. Just a bit, and there's a dog that big. Nothing personal if you do this, it's your business. I don't see how people live with big dogs in the house. I mean, they're bigger than the kids. I don't see how people live with little dogs in the house. It's your business. I ain't saying you're wicked. I'm just saying you're nasty. Big dog. I'm telling you. And that thing come at me, I thought he was going to jump through that hole and eat me. She said, turn it. I said, "Is he going to get my leg?" And she said, "No, he's all right." He didn't look all right. He looked at me like, "He looks good." I bet he's got barbecue sauce on his knees. That's the way he looked at me. Like he's going to bite my legs off. And I'm telling you what, boy, look, there's some of those little kids. Them little kids look up at you like this, and they just look at you. You can see the hurt in their eyes. You can see the loneliness in their eyes. You can see it like, and they look forward to us coming. Bus worker, let's don't let the bus kids down. Let's don't stop the buses running. Now, every time somebody comes up to me and said, well, let's just drop that round. But no, don't talk like that. Don't give the devil the victory. Get on them buses. Ride them buses. Drive them buses. Get them kids in to the house of God. And all God's people said, amen. Look, me and you've got cars. We got gas in our tank. We've got food in our stomach. We're saved going to heaven. Let's help them that don't have something. God will bless you if you will. I just can't stand the thoughts of letting them go. Right now, we need at least a couple men. Get your CDL license. And just drive once in a while. I don't see why you couldn't do that. I don't see why you wouldn't want to do that. I don't see why you wouldn't say, yeah, man. You mean tell me every time I drive that bus, God's going to bless me? And then, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. You get paid. What if I said this? Any man that gets his CDLs, every bus you drive a Sunday, we're going to give you $100 an hour. $200 in the morning, $200 an hour, $400 an hour. I'd have 15 of you up here right at the church saying, I'll do it. But God will give you way more than that. God's in charge of your health. You know that, don't you? God's in charge of your finances. You know that, don't you? God's in charge of your rewards in heaven. You do realize that, don't you? You do realize the Bible said your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You do realize, you know, you're not going to make me feel guilty. Make me know. You got it backwards. You ought to jump in and say, glory to God, count me in, preacher. I want to do something. I want to get a little piece of that. I want God to bless me and my home going out here to heaven. I believe God will bless you for it. You need a husband? Get in the bus ministry. You'll have to find you one. I've seen some nice ones yesterday. One guy, I hope this time he put security, lived in a trailer and put security cameras on his trailer. And see where he drilled holes and had these security cameras sticking out. And he had a little app down over here that had security. I said, what's he got here that's so wonderful he don't? Well, and she said, well, somebody keyed his car or something in a trailer park. And Austin over there was in the driveway. We were standing there talking to this woman and her daughter. He was about right over there. Fooling around, and the door opened, and this man comes and said, get out of my way! Slammed the door. I said, wow. And this one woman came to the door yesterday. She was a big lady. And she looked at me like that and said, hey, we'd like to have you at some church. And she just looked down. I said, you doing all right today? She just looked down. Well, didn't speak to me. I said, we sure would love for you to come to church. She said, I'll think about it. Closed the door. Boy, what a sweetheart. Man, who? Somebody must have really made her. Hey, listen. Somebody said this. They said, we need something for our young people to get involved in our church. I got it. The bus ministry. Listen, ain't nobody can be better bus workers than teenagers. Teenage girls can fill up a bus like that. Some of you teenage girls, you ain't got a bunch of young'uns. You don't have a house to keep clean all the time. If you get in the bus ministry, they ain't no telling. You say, well, I've got kids and I've got Saturdays my only day. Look, she's got three, brother, and goes every Saturday with no car. No car, man. No car. Rhonda comes and gets her. We give them gas money. Some other people help them gas ministry. Ministry. That's a good word. You can get in the ministry, and God will bless you. It's amazing how the Lord gives me stuff like that. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's like going to see you shrink. The Lord will help you. He's the joy of the Lord, you shrink. And listen to me. Listen to me. The best thing we can do for a youth activity is take them all out, let them go door to door. That'll do more for them than going bowling ever thought about doing. Amen. One man told me one time, I said, we need something for college and career age. Got it? Got it? Bus ministry. The best thing for college and career age is getting the bus ministry. All you spiritual ladies, that you're really, really spiritual and you know it, and you're more spiritual than everybody else, you know what you need to do? Get down here and ask God to forgive you and get in the bus ministry. Amen, preacher. Amen. Preach it, Brother Danny. That's right. Let it rip, preacher. I'll say amen. If you won't say amen, I will amen myself. Good preaching, brother. You tell it, son. Don't let them kids go to hell. Come on, preacher. Cut the mustard, amen. And all God's people said amen. And if you don't, I'll say amen anyway. And if you don't like it, God's liable to let you get sick and stay home and send us some healthy people that'll get a burden for those people for a change. You say, we need something for young adults. Got an idea. The bus ministry. All you Sunday school teachers, every one of you ought to go on a bus route. And if you don't, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. They depend on you. They love you. They look to you. They look at you. They depend on you. The husband and wife having trouble? I got some counseling, best counseling you can possibly get. Just go out there and see that one trailer we seen not long ago where there's a woman laying like this on the couch, covered up, and a little kid about a year and a half or in a cage doing like this. And I stood there and said, hey, hello, 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 ma'am. She's like that. She never moved. I thought she's dead. Little kid, about 11:30, hadn't had no diaper change, hadn't had no one bite of food. Mama passed out on her. Best marriage counseling you can get is go look at a place like that right there. You might start thanking God for what He's given you. You might start thinking, God's been good to me. God's been good to me. You know the best thing you can do for your little kids? Take them out on the bus route. It is. Because your little kids start thinking, wah, wah, we want that, we want that. Take them out there and let them see how other kids got to live. Let them see how other kids got to live. We come up in somebody's yard yesterday and Squishy said, now these people are poor. I said, God forgive me. God forgive me for not caring about people. You say, Lord, I just get out of this ministry. I'm sick and tired of it. You ought to ask God to help you get a new vision, a new burden. I ought to have several men and I say, preacher, what I got to do to get my driver's license? I'll help out once in a while. We're short. Brother Ray, who drives every Sunday, he's having foot surgery Tuesday. He'll be out 7 weeks. Drives their bus. Buses beat all to pieces with baseball bats. Batteries stole out of them. Got promised 2 weeks in a row they'd fix what and ain't fixed yet. You don't think the devil don't like that stuff? The devil hates it. He hates our bus ministry. He hates me. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to go. Secondly tonight, we ought to grow. And I'm just going to skip over this one. If a church will go, it'll grow. If a church will go, it'll grow. God wants church to grow. It is God's will for every church to grow. When something ceases to grow, it begins to die. If a church goes enough, it's going to grow. And we get people, new people all the time. It's like fishing. If you fish enough, you are going to catch a fish. Sooner or later. I ain't no fisherman. I don't care nothing about fish. Some people, buddy, they go all the time. Listen, you can be the dumbest, most inexperienced fisherman in the world and keep throwing it in there, you're going to catch a fish. It may have horns. It may be a gasm and goosem, like I say. It may be some kind of creature pulled out of that water, but you're going to catch something. Brother, we come in here, listen, if we witness enough, if we go enough, we'll come in here with some gas and goosums. I've seen a few come in here. I've seen some come in here that looked rough. I've seen some come in that smelled rough. I've seen some come in that didn't look rough. But it gave God a chance to work on them, and the Holy Ghost get a hold of their heart, and next thing you know, I love it. One of the most joyous parts of my job is to see people come in, like old Jimmy that come with Brother Mike. Old Jimmy come for... How long did he come? A year before? At least probably a year. And he'd sit back there. Old Jimmy's rough. Old Jimmy, just Jimmy, boy. And he'd sit back there and all of a sudden he started asking questions. And he told him or told me or somebody, he said, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get saved. And he wanted to get saved. What was his, on his birthday or something? He said, I'm going to get saved on my birthday. And I said, now Jim, you better not. You might die on your birthday. Nope, I'm going to get saved on my birthday. And I'll be, if he didn't do that. Jimmy got saved on his birthday. And brother, he's been here ever since. And he starts caring about, when I go out, when he shakes my hand now, he goes out saying, Brother Danny, let me ask you a question. That's what he talks. What does this verse right here mean? And he's been in the book, brother. He's been in the book. You know what? That makes me want to shout. It makes me want to shout to think God got a little boy in here and saved him, and now he's growing and teaching his family right, and they're witnessing. I look around here tonight, I see other people. That's a product of the bus ministry. What a blessing, people. What a blessing. We cannot let those buses out. Give them some gas money. If you have to work, give them some gas money. Help them out. Come on, just go once in a while. Let's go and watch our church grow. I can tell you story after story. We had an old man one time. You've heard me tell this story before. Old Grady. Lord, he's 100 years old. He didn't even know how old he was. We asked him. He didn't know. And he come on the bus one Sunday morning. And he sat over here on this side. Oh, brother. He had whiskers out like this. Like a porcupine. It hurt. The reason I know, because I baptized him. And it stabbed my hand. When I put my hand on his face, I was like, ow! He wore gloves. He had porcupine things sticking out of his face. And he come that Sunday morning, and there's something on his neck. He's like this. And he's sitting down like that right there. And I got up and screamed and hollered and stomped the floor and jumped around like this, like I'm doing tonight. Gave the invitation. And Grady come to the altar, and one of the deacons come and led him to the Lord. He got saved. He got saved. That old man got saved because a bus worker was out on Saturday and went over and said, Sir, would you like to come to church? I'll come get you if you'll come to church. That's all he did. And the man got saved, people. Do you realize what that means? He got baptized and I put him down in that baptistry. I thought he was going to break. I thought, what if his back breaks or something? And he starts, and he just gets like this. You know, his bones broke or something. And I pulled him up, and people started shouting. And I went off to preach somewhere not long after that. And somebody called me, and they said, Brother Danny, Grady's in bad shape. He's in the hospital. He ain't going to make it. So, man, I hate him. I'm going to tell him I'm praying for him. He died. That old man died. He's in heaven right now. Right now. Because one man named Boyce Morgan, old country boy, now have no education. He wouldn't know Greek or Hebrew if you met him in broad daylight. The old boy stopped and said, Grady, would you like to go to church? Let me tell you something, people. That's what's missing in churches tonight. Just carrying a burden for other people. You come to church and say, well, I just don't get nothing out of it. Yeah, I know why. Because your heart ain't even putting nothing into it. You get a lot after you put something in. Amen! God wants us to grow. Thirdly, God wants us to glow. He wants us to glow. I'll say just a thing or two and I'll hush. He wants us to glow. You ever had a lantern? I got some in my house and I keep them when the power goes off. You know, you twist the wick up and you find a match. You're feeling around in the house trying to find a flashlight or something. Flashlight don't never work because it ain't been used since last time power went out and batteries are all corroded and you strike a match and light. That lantern lights up, and it's got to have three things to glow. Number one, it's got to have a clear globe. You got to wash that thing, keep it clean. Number two, it's got to have oil in that little bottom part. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Number three, it's got to have fire to light that and make that thing burn on that wick. Three things. Our church tonight, number one, we got to be clean. We got to be clean. I didn't say perfect, but I said we ought to try to live a clean life. Most of what comes out of TV and Hollywood is spewed out of hell. It's sewage to our hearts and minds. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to be clean. We ought to act right. What a, and I'm not talking about just outwardly. Sometimes people make a big deal over the, some churches make a big deal over the outward appearance. And you ought to take care of the outward appearance. I'll just stop and say this, since this is a pastoral sermon tonight. You ought to take care of the outward appearance. You ought to dress decent. You ought to keep your nakedness covered. Especially when you come to church. Amen. I appreciate it, ladies. I appreciate you ladies. Ladies that come in, and they'll come, and they'll say, sorry, Brother Danny, I just got off work, and will bring a skirt with them, and go in the restroom and change, and come in here, because they want to respect God when they come into His house. Just because it's cold weather, don't mean you're supposed to dress like a boy at the house of God. Say amen, my time. Bring your skirt and change into it and represent the Lord and look right. Now look, they ain't nothing wrong with me wearing a t-shirt. I'm on my dress a t-shirt. But that ain't, the church ain't the place for me to wear no t-shirt. And the church ain't no place for you to wear blue jeans so tight you can tell if you got a quarter in your back pocket whether it's on heads or tails. You liked it a minute ago. Now what happened to you? Amen. Ladies dressed like a lady. Men dress like a man. Are you men? Wear pants in the summertime. Honor God. Do right. Into the house of God. Listen, you come see me more in my grass, I might have on my wife beater shirt. You ain't got no business in my yard. I wear what I want to. But when I come to church, brother, I'm going to have on a shirt and a tie, and I'm going to be represent my office and honor. You know, the way you dress makes you feel certain ways. You dress a certain way, you feel a certain way. You dress the ball cap and shirt, you know something like that. Yeah, that's the way you feel. It makes you feel different ways. Your clothes make you feel, and there is a time and a place. I understand that. I ain't one of these preachers that beat you over the head and say you got to dress like. I don't try to ruin your life. None of my business on a lot of things. But I'll tell you what. Wear your best when you come to the house of God, and teach your kids to wear their best when you come to the house of God. Always pull your britches up. Don't come in here swagging, you nasty looking thing. Amen? I wouldn't have a boyfriend that wore more jewelry than I did. Tell that little sissy to go find him a boyfriend. That's what he needs. We ought to glow. Clear glow. Make it shiny and clean. And then we ought to have the oil. That's the Holy Ghost. Way to get that oil in there is pray, brother. Pray. I'm going to preach a sermon on prayer here pretty soon. Because our prayer life is so weak. The average Christian has such a weak prayer life that it's pitiful. You want to really get some embarrassing testimonies here tonight? Let's all stand up and tell how much we prayed this week. Me, right on down. It's a, you know, you start it, but you say, I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord to help me, and I'm going to pray. And then next thing you know, you ain't. And you'll go a whole day, and you ain't prayed 5 minutes, and you pray. Listen, you better make yourself. You better make yourself. That's one reason I'm glad I'm a preacher. I have to pray. I have to pray. I prayed for this tonight. I prayed all week. I prayed this evening. And I got down and I begged God, and I said, God, please bless the service tonight. God, please bless the service tonight. God, please bless. Now, you do that for your kids. Do that for your husband. Do that for your wife. Do that for your family. Pray and get a hold of God, and God will light the fire, brother. And your glow will burn, and you'll glow for the glory of God. If I've hurt your feelings or made you mad, you ought to come up to me and thank me and give me a gift certificate to Golden Crowd. Because a preacher that don't hit you ain't helping you. If I ain't trying to get you to do better, I ain't doing you no good. And a preacher that don't say what I've said here tonight, watch the church. It'll get worse and worse and worse and worse. First thing you know, it's like going to a club. This ain't no place for kids to eat. Ain't no place for you to bring Mountain Dew and sip on it while I'm preaching. Only one in here that ought to take a drink of water during the service is me. And I don't, so I'm done. This ain't the place for kids to color and play video games. We ought to have a clear globe. You say, well, my kid won't be still. It's your fault. It's your fault. I ain't going to preach on this tonight. I'm going to maybe next Sunday night, but I'm going to tell you something. I ain't going to let no kid determine where I go and what I do and what I go. They say, well, I just listen, your kids ain't supposed to run you. You're supposed to run them. I have people tell me, they say, we just can't come to church, they won't be good. I'll tell you what, brother, it'll be snowing you know where when I let my kids tell me that we can't go to church. Amen? What in the world's wrong with people? He said, I don't know what's wrong with him. He just won't be good. It's your fault. Your fault. You strap them little legs like Mom did with a hickory switch, and they'll straighten up. Not your hand. Don't you ever whip a kid with your hand. That's abuse. Use a hickory switch like the Bible said. And they'll get the picture. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from it. And if you don't believe in spanking a child according to the Bible, you do not believe the Bible, and you need to ask God to forgive you for not believing the Bible. It ain't my idea. It ain't my belief. That's the Bible, what God said in the Bible. You got a problem with God, you need to settle. I'll get on that next Sunday night, maybe. But tonight, I want to ask you a question. How's things between you and the Lord right now? And that story I told you about that plane, 39,000 feet. We went along and I looked and it was 28,000 feet. I couldn't even tell what was going down. That's the way your church is, your Christian life. You think you're just smooth and right along going every Sunday. You're going down. Don't even know it. I'm going to ask tonight for some volunteers to bus route. I'm going to ask tonight for some volunteers to bus drivers. And we're going to have a meeting tonight. And I'm going to ask tonight while she comes, for those that would meet me here in this altar and say, Lord, I want to be a good, shining light for my church. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Come on right now. That's right. Come on. Meet me here in the altar tonight. Let's go. Meet me here in the altar. Here comes our bus workers. What about the rest of y'all?